AF.org. Good morning. Welcome to Radioactivity. I'm Rob Lori. Next month, the Hillsborough Republican Party will be holding a Second Amendment shootout and gun raffle. We're going to talk with the incoming chair of the Hillsborough Republican Party in just a moment. But first, three listener comments about yesterday's program in which we talked about the debate in Tallahassee over gun regulation and the debate across the nation. Here's what three listeners had to say.
My name is Brianna, and I just wanted to leave a comment about how, like, Ivanka Trump and Donald Trump and all of the millionaire billionaires who support more guns in the schools to as protection. It makes me so irate, mainly because they don't have children in the schools where they're saying that we need more guns, and which are public schools. So unless this affects their children, they are never going to be pro more gun regulation, unless it affects them directly.
My name is Bill Densmore. I live up in Zephyr Hills. I find your show today very, very interesting. And one of the points I would like to make is that they're not really talking about the mental health of a lot of these people that own guns and have guns and use guns. One of the things that I think they should do is give some of the money from the sale of either bullets or guns or the NRA to mental health issues, and especially people that have anger issues and really need the help. A lot of people that don't have insurance or own guns and don't realize they need mental help should have some sort of an evaluation before they're allowed to buy them. And if they took some of this money and put it toward mental health issues, then we might not have as many problems as we have.
This is Teresa from St. Pete. I have a comment about today's show. I want to address the issue of the mental health with the guns. I have a sister who is schizophrenic, and she's been one for, over 30 years. And back in the 80s, she got pretty far out to the point where they had to give her shock treatment. And she's been on and off medication. She's pretty much stayed medicated for the last almost 20 years since she quit drinking. And I just have to say, not one time in my sister's episode did she go out and harm anybody. She didn't go get a gun and freak out and go shooting people. So this mental illness, yes, maybe some of it is, but it's not the main issue. The main issue is that we don't need the assault rifles. Handguns, shotguns, go hunting, protect your home, fine. And then people say, well, they'll find another way. Yes, they may find another way, but we don't have to make it easy for them. We don't need to make it easy for them to get the assault rifles so that if they have to figure something else out, it may take them a little longer, and maybe by then they won't do it.
Well, there you have three listener comments that came in after yesterday's program. Our first guest today is Jim Warashuk, who is the new chair of the Hillsborough Republican Party. He won election last week. He's a retired Air Force colonel. Next month, the county party will hold what they had been calling a shootout and barbecue at the Fishhawk Ranch in eastern Hillsborough County. They've changed the name of the event to the Second Amendment Barbecue. Participants at the shootout are being asked to leave their bazookas at home. Also at the event, there will be candidates for office. The shootout will take place Saturday, March 24th at 1 p.m. The same day, there will be a series of marches around the country calling for more laws regulating guns. And Jim Warashuk joins us right now on the phone. Jim, thanks for coming on WMNF. Good to have you here.
Well, good morning, Rob. Appreciate the opportunity. Yes, we've had this in the works for some time now, probably several months before everything has occurred. But we're gonna use this as an opportunity to address the Second Amendment, talk about gun safety, put into practice that. We'll have this at the Fishhawk Sporting Clays, and we'll have their staff there who are well-rounded in gun safety. We'll have our own members who are NRA members who can talk about and implement certainly gun safety there. We'll do it along with a barbecue that is going to be sponsored by Bubba-Q's Barbecue in Brandon. We've got a number of other sponsors there. We'll have raffles. We'll have a number of events for people to take part in. And we'll have, as you noted, both candidates and elected officials there for people who participate to meet and talk to. So it's a good spirited, well rounded event. You know, to talk about all different things from the standpoint of the Second Amendment, NRA, local politics, and just sit down and enjoy some barbecue and talk to people who are in the Republican Party.
Well, no doubt, hot topics. The name initially, when I got the first press release, said Shootout and Barbecue, and I got the new press release this morning that said that it's now called the Second Amendment Barbecue. Did you change the name out of deference to the people who were shot in Parkland?
Well, absolutely. We talked amongst our executive committee board and felt that this was a better way to portray it because the NRA has been in the news a lot as a result of what's been going on. And we wanted to use it as an opportunity where people who are involved in the shooting business as both, you know, citizens and people who participate in that, where we can do a little bit of education as well to those not so much involved and give that stress that idea and what it's all about, because there's a lot of misinformation out there about you know, guns and everything. And every time we unfortunately have one of these events, those on the other end of the political spectrum use it to push their agenda, and they do so by using all kinds of erroneous terms and misinformation. And so we want to use this as an opportunity to educate everybody about gun safety and guns and something that's been part of America since we became a nation.
Jim, on the first press release that I got from the Hillsborough Republican Party, it says no bazookas, steel core, or tracer. Yeah, I'm still here. Can you hear me? Yeah, Jim? Jim, I hope I haven't lost you. Jim, are you there? Jim Warshuk of the Hillsborough Republican Party. Can you hear me? Hey, Jim? Okay. Hope we haven't lost you. Jim, can you just signal that you can hear me? All right. Well, you're listening to WMNF in Tampa. Jim Warshuk, I'm going to call you right back. Jim?
I'm still here.
Okay. All right.
I lost you.
All right. Well, I'm glad we reconnected there. On the initial press release that I got from the Hillsborough Republican Party, it says no bazookas. Do Hillsborough Republican Party members have bazookas?
Not at all. I don't recall that press release, but I think that was just put out in jest and good fun. Yeah, we're gonna do this, and we're gonna be stressing different important aspects of NRA gun safety, what's really involved, and try to do some education from the standpoint of whenever we unfortunately have one of these horrible incidents that we saw down in South Florida, to educate the public and those who participate who are not necessarily involved in shooting or gun enthusiasts or have an interest in that, and try to convey to them the important side of what the Second Amendment is all about. You know, we have to compete with the other end of the political spectrum that talks about, you know, taking away guns and all the political ramifications that they push forth. And a lot of it is done through misinformation and hype and all kinds of other kind of terms they use. And we want to try to let people know this is what it's really about. You know, this is the Second Amendment and gun safety and security and everything has all been part of the American culture since we became a nation, and we want to present the positive side of it, not necessarily the negative side.
Well, I'm glad. Frankly, I'm glad to hear that bazookas are not commonly part of the armament that Hillsborough Republican Party members have. I wasn't quite sure what to make of that when I got that on the press release. No bazookas allowed. But I'm glad to hear you say that members don't have bazookas. Jim, the timing of this, though, is the same weekend that there's going to be protests around the country against the fact that an 18-year-old can go out and buy an AR-15. And I wonder, what about the timing of your event, the Second Amendment barbecue or the shootout and barbecue that you're having there at Fishhawk Ranch? Did you time this for the same weekend as these national protests?
Not at all. This has been scheduled for several months now. We scheduled it for that day about 2 months ago when we first started looking at doing this as a fundraiser. It's a coincidence, and unfortunately, it occurred around the same time when this incident just happened a couple weeks ago, and we're going to use it to talk about the important aspect of gun safety and the Second Amendment rather than use it from the standpoint as a protest. That's just unfortunate timing, and since we had already booked the facility, we couldn't get around it. And at the same time, you know, a lot of Republican organizations and Republican parties around the state of Florida do these kind of events pretty regularly, and you know we are doing that because we do have people who are big supporters of the Second Amendment, and it's just an opportunity to do that. Unfortunately, again, the timing is not anything we had in mind.
Jim, you mentioned the misinformation before that you think is out there from people who are opposed to the AR-15 style weapons. What's the biggest piece of misinformation you think that opponents of those AR-15s put out?
Well, primarily is, you know, they have captivated the term AR-15 or AK-47 and assault rifle and a number of other terms that really don't make a weapon any more dangerous than any other weapon. In the wrong hands and used improperly, any weapon is a dangerous weapon, whether it's a single shot muzzle loading weapon versus a what would be considered a rifle that shoots multiple rounds, semi-automatic. We're not talking about automatic weapons, but they tend to use that term. Automatic weapons have been banned in the United States since the 1930s. And whether it's a Weatherby hunting rifle or a AR-15 style weapon, they both perform the same and they both have the same degree of accuracy and range as any other long barrel rifle. So I mean, it's the if the scariness of a weapon makes it more dangerous, I'm hard pressed to understand that. But that's part of the psychological aspect that they use to get people worried and scared. And at the same time, if you took all weapons or banned all types of weapons, then we would be in more hard-pressed because the criminals who are using them illegally are still going to have them because they're going to seek a way to get them and use whatever means to do so to do whatever it is, whether it's robbery or intimidation or what have you. So we're all about talking about the Second Amendment. Until that changes, we have the Second Amendment to give us a right to have weapons and of course use them properly and safely.
We're talking with Jim Warshak, who's the new chair of the Hillsborough Republican Party. He won election last week. He's a retired Air Force colonel. And we're talking about the Second Amendment barbecue that was formerly called the Shootout and Barbecue that takes place at Fishhawk Ranch on March 24th. Jim, are you saying that the damage caused by a round of an AR-15 is the same as the damage that would be caused by a 22 caliber rifle? Because, you know, I've seen the damage caused by an AR-15. And frankly, it can blow quite a big hole in a human body. And I've seen also damage caused by 22, and a 22 is nothing comparable to an AR-15.
Well, being in the military and very familiar with all types of weapons, the 223 round, the difference between a 223 round and a 22 round is the amount of powder behind the round. There's substantially more powder behind a 223 round, which is really about the same size as a 22 round when you look at the actual bullet itself. The shape is a little different. It doesn't blow a bigger hole in anybody, any person it hits. It just has a greater range, and there's a difference because at a certain point the round tends to tumble, and when it hits somebody, it does more damage. But when you get into a larger round, like a 30-06 or what you're using in larger hunting rifles, but they're basically the same. They're semi-automatic, like an AR-15, and AR-15 is just a model of a weapon. It's not a particular type of weapon that does any more different level or degree of
but
of
can't,
damage.
Can't a round can't a round from an AR-15 go through a wall? And a round from a 22 is not going to penetrate a wall.
Well, a round from an AR-15 will depending on the type of wall, if it's a cinder block wall, and depending on how close you are to it, will certainly punch through it or make a chip out of it, where a 22 will make a chip out of it. Like I said, the difference between the 22 bullet and a 223, which is what the AR-15 uses, is the amount of powder behind it. The round is the same. And the difference is it's not going to blow a hole in you. It's going to do damage based on the force behind it that the powder gives. So granted, that's the case, but any other type of large, long barrel rifle is going to do the same thing. And there are different sizes. The same thing when you get to pistols, where you have anything from a 22 gauge pistol to a 9mm to a 45 to a 44, you have a different size of round, and depending on the amount of powder behind and built into the bullet, I'm trying to be very simplistic, is going to what does the damage. So we're talking about a lot of different things. There's been a lot of hype because people believe that a AR-15 is a certain very dangerous style weapon, but if you put it next to a 22 or a 223 gauge wooden stock hunting rifle, it's going to do the same damage. It's just that we've got this psychological hype behind an AR-15 that people tend to think is more dangerous. All weapons are dangerous, and depending on the size of the round that the weapon is used, it's going to do the certain degrees of damage, but it, you know, we can't argue with that. That's a fact. But you know, the difference is the intent and what the purpose of the perpetrator is using it for. We certainly have to deal with mental health issues. That's always going to be the case. And people who don't have psychological problems or have some other situation in their life medically that affects their thinking aren't going to go out and do this. So we're dealing with two different avenues here. We're dealing with mental health, and we're dealing with criminal minds. And most people don't want to be criminals, so we got to look at it from the standpoint of that, too. What is the intent, and why are people using weapons against innocent human beings? We have to look at the state of mind and the motive. But, my guns have sat on my walls for years and years and years and never got up and walked out and done anything harmful.
Yeah.
So it's not the weapon that's doing it. It's the human being. We have to bring it back down to the human being and ask why are humans doing what they're doing? And we go through history. Unfortunately, as it is, there have always been people who have used various forms of weapons for bad reasons.
Jim, I know we only talked about maybe having you on for 10 minutes. I've got every line lit. Would you mind taking a few phone calls from listeners?
Sure.
All right. Our phone number, 813-239-9663. Our email address, dj@wmnf.org. Jim Warshak is the new chair of the Hillsborough Republican Party. We're talking about what initially was called a shootout and barbecue taking place March 24th. It's now called the Second Amendment Barbecue, being sponsored by the Hillsborough Republican Party in the Fishhawk Ranch area. Let's go to Luke in St. Pete, who says he's a Marine vet. Luke, you're on with Jim Warshak. What would you like to ask him? Luke?
Hi there, Jim. I just wanted to say it was really disturbing to hear you equate assault-style weapons with handguns. I think that's just ludicrous. If assault-style weapons were equivalent to a handgun or a musket, we would still be using those in the Marine Corps. But we don't. And the reason we don't is because these machines are much more efficient at their intended purpose. A person can carry an assault weapon into an area and deliver a lot more rounds downrange than they can with a muzzle-loading rifle. They can also be a lot more accurate in a variety of positions than they can with a handgun. And I just think for you to sit here and make an equivalency between these things is shocking. And to not be corrected, I think, is wrong. So now, we can talk about other issues. Of course, there's societal issues involved, but I don't think that was appropriate for you to say out loud.
All right. Now, Luke, I don't know if Jim Warshak heard you, but let me ask you, Luke, how long have you been a Marine?
I'm a veteran of the Marine Corps. I was in 20 years ago for a few years.
Okay. All right. Jim, Luke is saying that it's wrong to compare a handgun or some of the old-style weapons to a modern weapon like an AR-15, that they're not comparable. The damage is much different from an AR-15.
Well,
I want to be clear here. It's not just the damage. I feel like Jim is saying round by round they're equivalent, which also isn't true. But the fact is that with an assault weapon, you can send more rounds downrange more quickly. You can reload more efficiently, and you can deliver rounds from a variety of positions more effectively. And if that weren't the case, our military would be using muskets and handguns. We wouldn't be using assault weapons to conduct assaults.
All right, Jim, what would you say back?
Well, I agree with Luke 100%. And what I was trying to do was, he's right, and that's the reason our military and our law enforcement use the weapons they do, and magazine capacity has a lot, and range has a lot to do with it, and then we have to look at the intent behind why someone like the individual in South Florida did what he did, whether he used a handgun or whether he used a AR-15 or other form of a semi-automatic weapon, or whether he used a larger caliber weapon, it comes down to intent. It comes down to mental state, and those are the things we have to address.
100% agree. We need to deal with those societal issues. However,
yes, exactly.
When we have a person who's lost their mind and they're going to do some damage, when we have a society that's allowing assault weapons into it, that person can kill 17 children instead of one or two. When we go to when we look at other societies that basically don't disallow these kinds of weapons altogether, we see the same kinds of crazy people, but they run around in the street with a knife and maybe they stab one person rather than murdering 50. So when we talk about the damage work, we need to be very clear and specific about the extent of damage that these people can do. And I'm not proposing a solution here or saying there needs to be one answer over another, but I do think there is a case to be made for common sense, you know, constraints on what kind of individuals can access these weapons, what kinds of weapons are available. That's pretty much what I wanted to do. I just wanted
to check the record. Luke,
and I just wanted to be clear.
Luke, thanks a lot. Thanks for your phone call. Thanks for taking part in the conversation. Jim, I just want to play just some sound for 50 seconds. This is the sound of what the gun that you're raffling off at the Second Amendment barbecue. You're raffling off a 9mm weapon, and I just want to play some sound. This is from a demonstration in North Carolina just a few weeks ago about the Springfield XD Mod 0.2 9mm weapon that you're raffling off. This is how fast it shoots. Let's listen in.
It caught 45, and I'm in the mood to shoot, and I just happen to have an XD subcompact 9mm Mod 2. Let's put our ears on and see if it will shoot. I bet it will. Yeah. Let's calm down and hit that 2-liter now. Yeah, that's better. Let's hit the other one. We're going to reload. Getting too frisky.
All right, so that's a demonstration of the weapon that you're going to be giving away at the Second Amendment barbecue. He shot about 15 rounds in about 16 seconds. He reloaded in 5 seconds and was able to get off two more rounds pretty quickly. I mean, this is a pretty fast-acting pistol that you're going to auction off or raffle off March 24th.
Right. It's a semi-automatic pistol. It's not automatic. You can fire off as many rounds as the person can squeeze the trigger. It's the same as any other semi-automatic pistol. It's going to put out roughly in the same amount of time the number of rounds that are in the magazine that the individual who is firing it can squeeze off one shot at a time. If they're really quick with their finger and have a strong finger, they can empty the magazine in a short period of time based on the capability of the gun. I'm not making any excuses or arguing anything on that, but we have to go back again to it. They're available everywhere by law. You have to go through a background check to get that. Of course, criminals don't do that. And so, until we change the laws in the country, until we remove the Second Amendment, then the only people who are going to have those weapons are people who are bent on doing something illegal.
Well, Jim, when I was a kid and we hunted with 22s, we didn't have to fire that fast. If we were going after woodchucks or if we were going after deer or whatever, we didn't have to fire that fast. It seems that the only purpose of that gun is to kill human beings.
If that's what your mindset is. I mean, I can't address the motive and the reason a person is doing that. And, you know, if that's what the person's motive is, then we have a problem. We have a societal problem. But that's been the case.
But we have a societal problem. We have more mass shootings in this country than any other country. Even though other countries have guns, we have a societal problem here where people use semi-automatic weapons pretty regularly to commit mass murder.
Well, I need. I mean, I've seen statistics around the world where gun violence is. We have. We're not number one with regard to deaths by gun.
Well,
we're
not
way down the list
of the countries that are not at war. We are number one.
Well, I'm not even talking about the countries that are not at war. I'm talking about other countries. We are way down the list in gun violence. We've had, unfortunately, situations like South Florida and Columbine and others where those have happened, but those have not those have not raised us up to number one. You go into cities like Chicago and Detroit, and their rate of murder and use of guns are higher than countries at war like Afghanistan and Iraq. We have a problem in our society. Why are we all of a sudden putting out so many people with a mindset to do that? And again, it's not, you know, we have to deal with the fact from the standpoint of, as we talked earlier, mental illness. We have to talk from the standpoint of criminal mindset, for criminals have used them. We banned automatic weapons in the 30s because of the criminals who were out using weapons. When you go back to that time frame where everybody could have automatic weapons, we've changed that. We have to, as a society, decide whether we want to change the availability of the types of weapons that are out there. But at the same time, we have to decide whether do we amend the Second Amendment to say you can only have a single shot 22 weapon and that's the only thing that's available. Until we as a country decide we're going to do that, the laws are what they are. But at the same time, we still have got to do, we are doing horrendous things in our school system and how we're bringing up our children. I've been in the military. I served in the military for nearly 30 years. I've never used a weapon for anything other than what I can legally use them for. But why all of a sudden are we dealing with these kind of issues?
Well, I think people
from our youth.
Yeah, I think people are horrified by the mass killings. I think they're horrified by what happened at Las Vegas, what happened at Pulse. I think people are horrified by what happened at Parkland. Let me ask you this. The founders, when they were fighting, they had muzzle-loaded weapons. They had muskets, rather. And, you know, they would shoot. Then it would take 30 or 40 seconds to reload. Then they'd shoot again. And that was the weapons that our founders okayed. They said a well-regulated militia being necessary to a free state, the people's right to bear arms shall not be infringed. That was back in 1776. That's what they thought back then. Can you imagine Thomas Jefferson or James Madison or George Washington okaying this pistol that we just heard, or the AR-15?
You know, that's kind of a hypothetical, and I don't know what their mindset would be today based on current situation politically and within our society. I can give my own personal position, and that's about it. I can't make a decision on how someone else from the past might think today, nor would I even try. I keep weapons for home defense and because I go out with friends and shoot at a range, period. I don't have it, and I've been around weapons. I've served in multiple conflicts around the world and have seen the impact of much more horrible things than we've ever seen before in the world from the standpoint of, you know, IEDs and certainly mass casualties as a result of those kind of things. Those all are.
Why would we want those weapons of war here at home? I mean, an AR-15 is used to efficiently kill human beings in other countries. Why would we want them on our streets here in the U.S.?
An AR-15, while it has it's a semi-automatic. You've got to fire off one round at a time. It's not the same weapon that our U.S. military used that has a automatic.
But Jim, I can show you how to change the firing pin on an AR-15 so you can convert it just by holding your belt buckle and the trigger in the right way, you can convert it easily to an automatic fire. I mean, that, you can watch that video. I'll show you the video if you haven't seen it.
I'm
you know how to do it.
How it's done.
So it's easy. And then if you buy a bump stock, you can do the fire automatically that way. There's lots of ways to convert these things, and the government has no way of stopping you to convert it into automatic fire. So why would we want these weapons of war that you've seen horrible things done with around the world?
And if you removed the 350 million weapons held by Americans, and you were able to go, you know, whatever, I wouldn't even know how you would do that. Would that change things?
What if we just stopped selling them? Let's say that you
desires
let right, but let's say that all the
situation in their mind where they desire, I'm going to still go out and do this. I'm going to find a way to do
it. Let me suggest three things. One
it
is
it might be a little bit more difficult, but if they're that determined to do that,
I agree.
It's still going to be that individual who uses or gets hold of a weapon for the purpose of doing so. All the, you know.
Yeah, but could I just interject,
world,
Jim? Jim, could
know,
I?
Mexico
Jim,
and all,
Jim, could
Honduras
I interject?
And you know, you go down the list of countries in the world that weapons are banned when there is a situation. Granted, it's not as, you know, it may not be as frequently as we've seen in the last few years in the United States, but they still get the weapons.
All right, but Jim, could I interject?
You know, they're going to get them.
Jim, can you hear me?
I don't know how to ban weapons from.
All right,
anybody getting them. You know, that's the debate that we have to have as a society and with our politicians to make. I can't come out and say let's ban them all and it's going to happen. That's going to have to be a debate and decisions that we as a country have to have both with ourselves with our politicians to make that happen. I don't have the answer. And I don't think anybody has the answer. That's an argument that we're dealing with now. But we also have to deal with, we have really, really failed miserably with regard to, mental health issues that has fallen to the wayside.
Jim, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. So Ronald Reagan cut funding for mental health care, and a lot of people were put out on the streets. Republicans have not been big champions of mental health care in Tallahassee for the last 25 years. Now, suddenly, you think mental health care is important. Well, where have you been the last 35 years when Ronald Reagan put all those people on the streets and then Republicans in Tallahassee cut funding for mental health care? You guys have been nowhere, frankly, in all honesty. And now suddenly you think, well, we're gonna do something about mental health care. Not everybody who's mentally ill is violent. Only a tiny percentage of people who are mentally ill who are violent. And the other thing I would say is that why not just temporarily stop the sale of these semi-automatic weapons because they are so often used for mass killings? Why not give us that?
Again, that's a political issue that our politicians. You can throw anything you want at the Republican Party when it comes to mental illness, and I can throw anything I want at the Democratic Party or the political left for whatever for the lack of discipline, because we want to make it so much easier for we can't discipline anymore because that's horrendous to kids. We have to treat them with kid gloves because they're so fragile, or it's politically
incorrect. Wait a minute, you think that disciplining kids in school is going to stop gun violence?
I think it has hurt us societally because there is lack of discipline and moral decay from when I went to school, certainly.
Boy, you know, I don't know where the statistics are on that. Hey, Jim, I don't mean to cut you off, but thank you so much for coming on WMNF and talking about the Second Amendment barbecue, or what was formerly called the shootout and barbecue on March 24th. If people want to, you think you're going to have a big crowd there?
From everything we're seeing and hearing, we look at having a relatively large crowd.
All right, Jim, if people want to find out more, how can they find out more?
Well, they can go to first the Fishhawk Shooting Clays. They'll be advertising that on their website. And you can go just look up. We have a number of ways to look us up, Hillsborough County Republican Party, and go to our website. You can get to it multiple ways. Just look it up, and we'll be glad to talk to people and fill them in on what's going on.
All right. Well, Jim Warshak, thanks a lot. Thanks for coming on MNF, and congratulations on winning the chairmanship of the Hillsborough Republican Party.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Jim. All right. Take care. All right, let's take some phone calls from listeners. Our phone number, 813-239-9663. Email address, dj@wmnf.org. Because we kept losing Jim, and I don't think he was able to hear all the comments, let's just hear from our listeners now. And we're going to go to Jim in St. Pete. Jim, thanks for calling in. What would you like to say?
Hey, Rob. I don't know what to say. I'm a little concerned the guy was a colonel, though. This feel-good stunt, you know, it's no bazookas, ingesting good fun, you know, is this somehow coordinated with the national group? I'll have to come out 2 weeks later with some idea to kind of soften everybody up. It's like so transparent, and this guy is so, you know, detached from reality. It's just amazing. I was talking with a guy yesterday. He was a reasonably good guy, but he's a gun owner and he's pretty much a Trump guy. And he referred to the other side, you know, the other side. That sounds like a Rush Limbaugh type of thing. And this guy twice said the other end of the political spectrum. So is this how we determine our politics now, whether you are for or against guns? It just seems like they have an answer for everything, and it's always, you know, we get in the weeds so fast with the 22 and the 22.3 and all this stuff. It's just a bunch of crap.
All right. You know? Okay, Jim, thanks a lot. Thanks for letting us know what you think. Great to hear from you. 813-239-9663. A bunch of emails have come in. I'll read a few of them. Charles in Tampa says, please ask your guest specifically who wants to ban guns in this country. That claim smacks of untrue propaganda. I think there are some people that would like to ban semi-automatic weapons. I think it's fair to say that. How they would do it, I think, is a big question, as we were discussing. Adam writes this, why don't you ask him, why don't killers use a handgun for school shootings? Ask him specifically why they use an AR-15 for a lot of the mass shootings. If you can use any gun, why pick the AR-15, writes Adam. And Bob in Palmetto writes, is this guy serious? A muzzle loader as dangerous as an AR-15? I would like to see one fire as many rounds per minute as an AR and kill as many people in such a short amount of time. That's Bob in Palmetto. And John writes this, the guest says that they're holding the meeting to support the Second Amendment. In theory, I'm fine with having a gun, a handgun, a hunting rifle. And it seems that that's what the writers of the amendment thought, too. I bring this up because for freedom of speech in the First Amendment, they wrote a blanket statement that speech should not be impinged. They were deliberate about that. I believe they were also deliberate about not making a blanket statement permitting firearms. They wrote a carefully worded statement and saw a reason not to make owning any type of gun permissible, writes John, who's out there in cyberspace. Let's go to Anthony in Ozona. Anthony, thanks for calling in to WMNF. What would you like to say? Hey, Anthony, you're on.
Yep, thank you for having me on. And I just want to say, while I was listening to your guest and listening to that, you know, the ridiculous statements he was making, I gave $50 to a gun reform organization. I'm saying that because he motivated me. He motivated me to take more action and solidified the fact that my opinions on gun control are correct. Everything he said was wrong and motivated me to take more action. And I think I bet a lot of your listeners felt the same. People that maybe were not as, you know, a pro-gun reform. I think after listening to him, now are. He was wrong about the statistics. I mean, you said it, Rob. We are number one in death by guns. And also, the education piece they're talking about, education is not going to stop these massacres. So there's just so much that he said that was wrong that I can't even get my head around. It just has really motivated me to do even more to stop people like him.
All right. Anthony, thanks a lot. Thanks for joining the conversation. Great to hear from you. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you. Let's go to Rhoda. Rhoda, where are you?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you, Rhoda. What town are you in?
I'm in Bradenton, Florida.
All right. Thanks for calling. What would you like to say?
Well, I have to pay for insurance in my car in the event I hurt someone. I have to pay for insurance in the event I'm sick or I get hurt. I believe you should pay for insurance for owning a weapon and for each weapon, and it should be as substantial as my health care and my insurance, car insurance. Now, this would allow gun sales to continue, but deter many that can't afford the insurance. If you buy a car, you present insurance. If you buy a gun, you present insurance. Now, I think the NRA has gotten away with a lot without being responsible for the ownership for long enough. Then I would like, of course, this is my second thought, I would like the insurance money to be used for health care. That would be a lot of money to be used for good and prevention. I can get off the phone and let you discuss this because I'm sure it will go further.
Rhoda, I think that's brilliant. I was going to ask him that very question, but he couldn't hear me for half the interview. So
he wouldn't shut up either.
Yeah. All right, Rhoda, thanks a lot. Thank you for calling. Bye. I think that's certainly should be discussed, and we should have a debate about that. It's unfortunate that we're not debating it right now in Tallahassee and in Washington, D.C. We need to have this debate. We need to have a conversation. Let's go to Michelle, who's in Sefner. Hi, Michelle. Michelle, you're on. What would you like to say?
Hi. I just really think this man is out of line to try to tell me that a 22 is equivalent to an automatic rifle is ludicrous. I don't understand why he thinks that. And I thought that maybe all these people that have these automatic rifles, maybe they could surrender them to the Army. That way there would be less of them around.
Yeah, I've looked at the bullet wounds from 22s and looked at the bullet wounds from AR-15 rounds, and they are not the same. I'm with you. I mean, I handled a 22 when I was a kid. I know what it can do. But the AR-15 is much different than the 22 that I handled as a kid.
Rob, I just have to tell you that he insulted my intelligence by saying that.
All right, Michelle, thanks a lot. Thanks for coming on, too.
Uh-huh.
All right, good to hear from you. Elsie writes this, I am listening. How about discussing how many rounds can be fired at once? If a person had to reload after every shot, someone could stop the shooter, writes Elsie. James writes this, got to call BS to your guest today to say that an AR-15 causes no more body damage than a 22. That's the dumbest thing I heard today, writes James. And Greg writes, we know from the lessons of other countries and the studies the CDC has done that Congress defunded at the behest of the NRA that the only solution is to restrict access to firearms by reducing the amount of weapons. The problem unique to the U.S. is that our leaders are putting the rights of corporations to profit above our right to public safety. That's Greg's email, part of it. 813-239-9663. Bill writes this, I spent a year in the bush in Vietnam. I'm qualified as an expert in every handheld and shoulder-held weapon, and this so-called vet is shoveling a lot of BS, backing and filling. See radiologist article in today's Tampa Bay Times regarding the imaging of bullet tracks in humans. 0.556 round is much more damaging than, say, a World War II 30-06. The 0.556 chews up flesh much more efficiently, writes Bill. Yeah, there is an interesting article from a doctor on the editorial op-ed page of the Tampa Bay Times today that talks about bullet wounds of the kids in Parkland. It's very interesting. Michelle, thanks for your phone call. Let's go to Andy in Dunedin. Andy, what would you like to say?
Wow, I'm almost embarrassed to call myself an Air Force vet after listening to this guy. A couple of things I want to point out that the opponents aren't saying enough of is that this is really not about the Second Amendment. Because people are like, all up in arms that people are going to come around and sweep up all the weapons, which is just kind of ludicrous. You know, you can have a pistol, a hunting rifle. That's all. As far as I'm concerned, that's fine. But these other weapons, these are weapons of mass destruction. I mean, let's call it what it is. And on the topic of mental health, I mean, and I think you mentioned this too, people that are serious, you know, have mental health problems, they don't have a pensions for violence, okay? These people that cause these, I mean, yeah, they're crazy, but that's more like temporary insanity. I mean, you could have one of these weapons, you could lose your job, lose your house and your wife, you could be bullied all your life, and then you just snap and go crazy. Now, he wants to talk about criminals having these weapons. What is he talking about criminals? I mean, did the guy from Las Vegas, did he have a criminal background?
No, he did not. He did not.
Any of these people have criminal backgrounds? I mean, who's doing all this stuff? Is it Salvadorans? Is it Mexicans? Is it blacks? These aren't the people that are going out and doing all this stuff. It's white guys. And none of them, you know, pretty much had criminal backgrounds. So let's get off this whole mental health thing and using them as a scapegoat. Now, it's just embarrassing.
All right, Andy, thanks a lot. Thanks. We're having a conversation about guns and the fact that the Hillsborough Republican Party is having what they formerly called a shootout and barbecue. Now they're calling it a Second Amendment barbecue on March 24th. And we just had the head of the Hillsborough Republican Party on WMNF. Let's go to Jim in St. Pete. Jim, thanks for calling in. Jim, you're not calling twice, are you? This isn't the Jim from St. Pete from before, is it? Okay. Jim, you're on. What would you like to say?
Yeah, one thing I'd like to point out, I mean, I'm sure you guys are familiar with me, and I send in, this is amazing that I can actually get in. I keep leaving comments. Anyway, some of the things that you're saying just aren't right, or they don't follow through. It's like talking about why would they, you know, concern the guns they had in the Revolutionary War, you know, how can they compare them to the automatic weapons or whatever of today? Well, they were the assault rifles of the day. They were talking about everybody being armed. As far as your guys changing weapons over to full auto, that is illegal. You can do that with any gun. You just,
right, but you got to admit it's not hard to do.
Of course it's not hard to do. It's not hard to make a rifle from scratch.
Yeah.
That's another point. I mean, you go...
So Jim, where would you put the upper limit on arms? I mean, tell us what the upper limit on arms is. Hillsborough County Party says not to bring bazookas. Should you have the right to have a bazooka, do you think?
Okay, the deal of it is that if you try to take guns off the street, all you're going to do is...
All right, so you think you have the right to have a bazooka? Is that what you're saying? What's the upper limit on arms? If you think that the founders thought that we could have AR-15s, what's the upper limit? Did the founders think that we should have machine guns? Did the founders think that we should have rocket-propelled grenades? Did the founders think that we should have missile launchers? Did the founders think that we should have tanks? Tell us where you draw the line. Where do you draw the line? Jim? All right. He was afraid to answer that question, and he hung up on his own. Mike writes this, your first guest is an idiot. Writes Mike. That's Mike's view out there. A little birdie writes, I have a 9mm that will do exactly the same thing. It's under my pillow. It's my backup for my 12-gauge shotgun, my home defense, because I know from experience that the St. Pete Police Department won't help. So that's little birdie who writes there. And Jeffrey writes, in Afghanistan and Iraq, they're being blown up, not shot, writes Jeffrey. Let's go to Tom in St. Pete. Tom, you're on. What would you like to say?
I couldn't believe this guy. I don't have enough words to describe this guest you had. It's just unbelievable. He epitomizes everything you're talking about. And the other thing that came out probably accidentally is his attitude towards corporal punishment in school. To me, that was the head. That was the most important thing he said. So he's blaming the schools for not punishing students enough. He didn't talk about parents. He said schools.
Yeah. Hey, Tom, we're out of time. I wish we had more time, but we're out. Thanks a lot. Okay. Thanks for getting into the conversation. If you want to comment about today's show, please call us up at 813-238-8001 and record your comment about the past hour on extension 115. And I'll play your comments back tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock. Stay tuned for your hero, Mark Bureau. This is WMNF Tampa 88.5 FM. And thanks to Jan Simpson. She was our phone producer.